It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name.
Second and a yard, dropping his Minshew. Fires toward the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. Minshew to Chris Conley for the score.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing.
These games are like the most fun, you know. They suck for like 90% of it. Like, you feel like crap. But then you just keep grinding, find a way. You know, these guys, there's nobody I'd rather do it with than them.
Diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing.
The show and Blaze are coming. Burner drops the throw, fires to the right side. The ball is caught. Touchdown, Chris Conley. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And the Jags have taken the lead.
You know, one thing you got to say is that, you know, the guys were fighting their butts off, you know, kept fighting and had an opportunity. And that's what we kept talking about all week, just give an opportunity at the end of the game. We had an opportunity. We wound up going down and winning the game.
Final play of the game. Final play in this stadium. Carr fires it toward the end zone. This is way up there. It's going to be a jump ball in the end zone. It is batted away, incomplete, and the Jags win it. The Jags have won for the first time in six games. They beat the Oakland Raiders 20-16.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Tom McManus.
Oh, welcome in. Happy Friday. It's Victory Friday. Congratulations to the Texas Longhorns for taking down Southern Cal. Matt Leinart always was overhyped, wasn't he? Come on, man.
But Reggie Bush wasn't, though.
No, he wasn't. You know what? I totally forgot. Like, really, you know, in college, Reggie Bush was the man, right? If you didn't see it last night, ESPN showed the Rose Bowl, what was it, 2006?
Yes.
Texas, Southern Cal, right? Vince Young goes crazy, wins the championship. Yeah, it helped when he was turning around handing off to freshman Jamal Charles, right? Yeah. Who turned out to be better than Reggie Bush and Wendell White.
Those
at the pro
teams
level, significantly.
Were stacked.
Woo-hoo!
It's not like national championship matchups aren't often stacked. I mean, they usually are in college football, but. Whew.
There's a lot of talent on those
teams.
A lot of talent on those teams. Tommy Mack's in the house.
Hello,
what's Thomas.
Up? Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I'm
essential
good.
Communications broadcaster guy.
As long as I'm essential, I'm
you
here.
You are essential to this program, brother.
Well, I tell you what makes me even feel more essentialer, or
okay.
Whatever you say there.
More essential was good enough, Tommy.
Well, you can stop there, but that's all right. More
I'm good essential-er. At math, not grammar. Sorry.
You
can only be good
essential-er.
At one thing.
Yeah.
You know? Since I've been given access to the side lot, I've learned something. You guys have a great snack room.
There is a great snack room.
I've been coming here
right?
for 3 years. I'd never been down that hallway. I walked by. I'm like, there's a snack. I grabbed a snack on my way out.
Did
it was fantastic.
It's one of those
I did
snack
not.
Rooms.
Oh, is it really? I'll have to leave some cash on my way out today.
I don't know. Honestly, I've never
it's
had
it. It's got an app. It's
there's,
like a,
there's some app,
an app
yeah.
that you download and you put money in and you can buy whatever you want.
Think
whatever.
Your phone.
Really?
Like
oh, it's not one of those walking.
Like, right, like,
not take
I mean,
a book,
they,
leave
they
a book.
They've done a nice job making sure that we have things available to
yeah.
us, you
yeah.
know. But I don't expect my employer to give me free food unless it's the Jaguars on game day. All
right.
right? And they're not
right.
really my employer, but they are nice enough. You
let
know.
You eat the buffet?
Sure, why not? Whatever. I mean, box lunch, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In yeah. all honesty, you know, over the years, anyone who's eaten in that press box, particularly the pre-Shad Khan days, you know, they were known for their teal hot dogs.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And it wasn't their intent to make them teal. It was like something with the way with the water kind of gave a little off-green tinge
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, they were fine because I ate a bunch of them. I'll tell you that. But
it's like green beer. It's,
absolutely. Green, right? Green, a little food coloring, right?
Yeah.
Just pretend it's food coloring.
That's right.
It'll be fine. But, you know.
It's penicillin.
Over the years, Tony, we've all complained about the teal dogs.
Yeah.
But in the end, man, we're greedy so-and-sos because
yeah.
they're
it's a free
us.
Meal. I only
it's
complain
meal.
So much. It's a free meal.
Right. We complain a little
yeah.
bit. We
yeah.
look at it and then I take two. That's what I used to do. So
yeah, heck yeah. My older brother Mike and his buddy who were visiting me in St. Louis, we had a game there.
Uh-huh.
They came down. We'd already eaten. Like the team had already, we're already on the buses and they come down all hungover and they're wandering around and they stumble upon this this buffet, not knowing that it was a private buffet. They start loading up. Nobody's in there. They start loading up their plates like, oh my gosh, this is the best. What a great hotel. This is unbelievable. Blah, blah, blah. And then he comes some JAG official. He's like, What are you two doing here?
With McManus?
What are you talking about?
Tom said it was fine.
Tom said it was fine. Just, like, get out of here. Like, we take the plates or not?
Was that the game where you guys played the Rams and Brunell threw for 8 billion yards and you lost?
Yeah,
right?
We lost. That was the game. Was that the game where we couldn't get the ball down to spike the spike the ball? I think it was, because
would know, because he's really a savant on some of that stuff. Truly,
but, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it was.
I do.
Keenan had like 15 catches in that game. Something.
Yeah,
like
he
that,
did.
Right,
he did. It was a big. It was
game.
Like 32-29. Something like that. It was a close game.
I would say Brunell threw for 400 plus, but he might have thrown a lot of interceptions that day.
I don't know. I can't remember. We'll have to look it up. But I know we were driving, and Willie Jack made a play, I think. He got tackled. They're trying to rush up to the line, and they couldn't get the ball down and snapped, and the time ran out. I think that's how the game ended.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I can't remember.
That was one of our games, in 96, and we ended up 9-7. But that was a game we easily could have won.
Sure.
We lost it in New Orleans. They drove on the last drive, drove down. We had chances to make plays. We didn't make them. We easily could have been 11-5 that year.
What was the difference, Tom? Because, this is not the route we're planning on taking today, but I'm curious now that you brought it up. Yeah. Early in that season, you had some of those games that you could have won that you let get away. What if anything, clicked? Did anything change, or was it just a matter of you just made a couple of plays and it wasn't any like thing you can point to saying this was the turning point?
I'll give you I think you make those plays that you don't make in the close games that you lose, right? You end up making those plays. For instance, when we were against New Orleans, this haunts me to this day. It was first down. It was that last drive, and the tight end ran a choice route, which is in between the linebackers, and I forget who the quarterback, maybe it was Everett, could have been, threw it right to him, and I came in, and I knocked the ball down, and I didn't even think to go for the pick. You know what I mean? And I think if I pick it there, it's
Ball
over.
Yeah.
It's over. You know, so you think of those kind of plays, and I think everybody probably has a play or two like that. But you start making those kinds of plays, right? And then everything starts clicking. And you look, there is some, Coffey, you say there's no solace in losing. There is solace in losing when you're playing well, either individually or as a team, and that you're close. It wasn't like you're getting blown out.
Right. If you're ascending and you're getting more competitive, there can be something to be gained from
a
hard-fought loss.
And then next thing you know, we go up to Baltimore. We were 3-6 going into Baltimore.
Right.
We end up winning that game on a late field goal from Hollis after we forced a fumble. I mean, it was just making those kinds of plays to determine the outcome.
Man, this game was nuts. The Jaguars had 36 first downs that day to
St. Louis, 8.
They lost 17-14. The final play of the game wound up being a 34-yard completion as time ran out.
Yep. Give me the Brunell and McCardell line.
Willie Jackson, a 34-yard catch as time ran out.
Wow, good memory for Tommy.
That was
Mack.
Pretty good for Tommy, although you had it like 29-27. So
what was the score?
17-14.
17-14.
Oh, yeah. Maybe because I don't know. We shut him down. Hey, I'm proud of that. We shut the rash down.
Brunell was 37 of 52 for 421 yards with 5 interceptions that day. Keenan McCardell caught 16 for 232.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Monster
right.
Monster day.
Yeah. Jimmy was 7 for 65.
Mark's out there going, well, you're killing me. You have to pick this game? Really? This is the game we love.
We love you,
Bruce. We do.
Yeah,
we gotta get more. Let's get Mark on next week. We had Freddie T on this week.
I heard, I was listening. Yeah.
Your ears were burning because he name dropped you and Boyer. And
he always brings that up.
We'll get to a good soundbite from Fred coming up in the next segment.
Good.
But it got me thinking because the guys on XL Primetime had Boyer on yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And he's just a fun guy.
Yeah.
You obviously know that as well as anybody. And just thinking about, he talked about the fan support he got here in the city of Jacksonville. And he was kind of a beloved figure for a guy who was just an okay player. You know what I mean?
Who, Brant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
Brant
a
was
Pro
a
Bowl.
Good player.
Right,
no,
but not a Pro Bowl.
No, but
level
he was
guy.
A. We always talk about those glue players that you need, right? You need that fullback you can always count on, that guard. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they're not Pro Bowlers, but they're like grunt player. I was a grunt player.
Sure.
You need a lot of those guys to form your core of your team. And then you throw in the superstars, and that's how you make a great team. He was one of those guys.
Well,
absolutely.
What we decided to do in honor of yourself and Brant Boyer, because we're going to play that clip for you from Freddie T, was we're asking people today who is your all-time favorite Jaguar who never went to a Pro Bowl.
So, very nice.
Because we always talk about your favorite Jag or whatever, who's the best Jag. And interesting to me that, a couple of the first responses I got were Rasheen Mathis and David Garrard. The internet's an amazing thing. Google it. They both went. Surprisingly, though, I mean, I've known this, but when you think about how good a player Rasheen was, he only went to one Pro Bowl in his career.
That's amazing.
You know, back in 2006, Dave went. And you know, someone will say, oh, he was an alternate. He went to the Pro Bowl, right? He gets Pro Bowls on his resume.
And he was a top player at his position for a long time. There's no doubt about
that. About Rasheen.
Yeah. And their teams weren't. They were really good.
Rasheen was legit, you know, named to the Pro Bowl. Dave, I think, got in as like an alternate Garrard, but who cares?
Yeah,
you went to the Pro Bowl.
You're
a
Pro Bowler, man.
That's our question of the day. Our main question of the day is, who is your favorite Jaguar all time who never went to a Pro Bowl? Our secondary question of the day is asking, what are you going to do with yourself for these next 4 weeks, basically, right? Like, we're all going to be sticking closer to home. So is there a home project that you hope to get accomplished in the next 4 weeks? Kind of like your quarantine's resolution or something along those lines, your social distancing resolution. Yeah. What are you going to try to get done around the house? If anything, maybe you're not. Maybe you're going to nap more. I don't know. That, which is fine, too.
Yeah, whatever.
Do whatever. Celebrate napping. Napping is a wonderful.
Napping is good.
You know, all depends on your home situation there. If you can get it in between the virtual classroom that's going on.
I'm a quick napper these days. I used to be a long napper. Now I'm like a 20-minuter, and I feel great when I get up.
Yeah, 20 minutes, probably not enough.
I used to be like 2 hours. Remember, like in college, you'd sleep for like 2-3 hours?
I remember waking up.
Yeah, I'm a 15-20 minutes.
Panic.
That's all I need.
Yeah, you
get the great thing about Flagler back in the day was even more condensed than it is now. You know, it was all basically one big city block.
Right.
And so I could literally be lying in bed 3 minutes before class, you know, in my underwear. And, like, my eyes shoot open. It's 2 p.m. I've been trying to nap between classes, throw on a pair of shorts, and haul butt and pretty much make it to class on time if you got up with 3 minutes to spare. You had that in your books ready to go. Yeah. So out the door we go. All right. Today, if you want to weigh in, those questions are out there for you on social media. You can hit us up on the phone line, certainly at 641-1010. Also, the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures, at that same number. Hit us up on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Meathead55, and at IAME to the T.
Come on.
Sporting his 50th. Different major league hat this week.
And I got more to go.
The Oakland A's. That's a sharp one, though. The A's have always been like my second team because that's where Reggie came up with the A's, and I was a big Reggie Jackson fan.
Right? Wasn't Henderson?
Oh, Ricky Henderson,
yeah,
sure.
He was fun to watch. Mm-hmm.
We claim him in pinstripes, though, too.
So Lou Brock's a little bit. 60, I remember.
More 60s into the 70s.
He was the stolen base leader before Ricky Henderson,
correct.
Right? Yeah. I remember when Ricky broke
and,
that.
Brock beat Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb had like 892, I want to say.
Wow.
And I want to say Brock had 938. Those are the numbers I'm going to go with. Wow. Sliding Billy Hamilton's in there somewhere as well. I used to be that kid.
Yeah.
You know? I
have
no idea what Ricky's number is.
Yeah.
But I would bet you money that Ty Cobb had 892 stolen bases.
Nothing worse than getting picked at second, you know, when you try to steal. And
no doubt. They
beat you. Like,
Ricky was amazing. Ricky, just in terms of being an amazing leadoff hitter, jumping on that first pitch, sending it out of the ballpark, you know. He was a different guy. All right, so today.
Ricky, by the way, 1406.
1406.
Holy
cow. Him all in the dust.
Yeah,
Lou Brock
is
938.
938.
Woohoo!
Billy Hamilton.
Sliding Billy Hamilton.
912.
Thank you. There you go.
And Ty Cobb, 892.
Whoa! Pay the man.
Wow.
All right, let's have a fun Friday, all right, to wrap up. With,
no.
Absolutely. McManus is here.
Why would we do that?
McManus is here. We'll hear from Rodney Gunter on the program today. Right. We're going to hear some audio from Greg Cosell. The great NFL Films analyst, talking about this quarterback draft class. Some really interesting comments about the way he orders these guys and ranks them. So at least I thought it was interesting. Yeah. We got some more mock drafts to dig into. Of course we do. We're less than 3 weeks away from the start of the NFL draft. So all those things out there for you today. Come along with us, Jaguars Today, on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, if you want to talk Jaguar football in any of its many permutations, you're certainly welcome to join the program. 641-1010. You take the discussion where you'd like to take it. As long as it's Jaguar and NFL related, that's generally within the boundaries here. You can get on board there. You can hit us up on the text line at 641-1010 as well, or all over the Twitter sphere. We have Freddie T, your former teammate, on Wednesday. Great. Would you say, other than yourself, of course, present company excluded, is Freddie the most beloved Jaguar of all time? People will debate who's the best. Pacelli, you know, Fred, whomever,
that's
Jimmy Smith.
That's a good one-on-one, I think. I mean, obviously, a lot of people love Tony.
They love them all, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, Freddie's definitely – being a Gator, you know, and then being a Jag and – and the kind of player he was.
The kind of player and the personality he is. And he's a good dude.
He's great. He's
a great running back. It's that flashy spot, too.
True.
Yeah.
Like, he was a flashy player in a very prominent position. Like, fans just gravitate to running backs more than it feels like outside of quarterback, and they haven't had that type of guy.
And he was good.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
I mean, Fred was unbelievable.
You get a guy like that with the ball in his hands, and he's scoring touchdowns and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, it's easy to gravitate to that. Now, he talked about a moment, and I know you've heard this story plenty of times. You're on the receiving end.
But, so,
you know, right, his rookie year coming in and going up against a couple of fired up Jaguar linebackers. Let's listen in what Freddie T had to say.
What I remember from T-Mac, him and old Brent Boyer, we were in OTA, and I was murdering those guys. Literally, I was just running circles around Boyer and McManus. And they would grab me and say, "Hey, you freaking rookie." But, you know, they cursed. "Hey, you effing rookie. Slow the F down before we do something to you." And now as a rookie, I'm like, hold up. I don't know these guys. All I see is two big bags of muscle because they was ripped. Their necks were huge, and they almost shook me up, but I wasn't going back down. And I joke with T-Mac about those stories. "Hey, you effing ready? Slow the F down before we snatch you up and beat your little ass." Hey, those days, man.
You knew we were going to play that for you, man.
That's great.
It really
that's
is. Yeah,
was like the best version I have ever heard.
It was good, right?
That was the best version. He got into it.
Fred did get into it. He was so borderline funny there. He thought we might have been on satellite radio there for a second, but he pulled it back. He reined it in at the last minute. Oh, I was murdering those dudes.
He's talking probably about is we used to have to do these one-on-one pass coverage drills, and that was not – I could cover a tight end back in the day, not like great, but good enough, you know, in a zone. I could handle all that kind of stuff. But one-on-one against a back like him, it was like, oh, my gosh. So I used to jump in line first because he would be first just to get it over with. Because I'm like, I'm not gonna cover him. You know, my best bet is he just runs a five-yard out and catches the ball and – I just run right past him, and he's way by me, and it's okay. You know what I mean? But
sure.
He did. He could. He was so fast and quick and big. I mean, he was a big dude. I texted you, or maybe I put it on Twitter, but one of my favorite memories of him, when he ripped off. I'm telling you, I'm rehabbing my knee. So this is 98. He's a rookie. It must be in like May or June, and I'm working. You know, I want to see where my 40s at. So Jeff Hurd, our strength coach, is out there, and I'm running 40s. I still got my brace on, so it's not that great, but I'm just running them and getting a time. And here comes Fred, and he's got his shirt off, and he was yoked, man. I mean, he's talking about bags of muscles. He had them, too. He was a big, big young buck. And he's like, "Hey, T-Mac, could I run one?" And I was like, "Yeah, hell yeah." And I'm like, "But let me get to the end. I want to see the time. I want to watch." He's like, "Yeah, no problem." So I run up to Hurd. He's like, strength coach is like, "What's going on? What are you doing?" I'm like, "Freddie T wants to run a 40. Let's check this out. I guarantee it's going to be unbelievable." So, true story. Fred gets down in his stance. His first three steps are like bap bap bap. Boom, he hits it like a rocket. I mean, it was like a rocket ship. He pulls up like two, three yards before. You know what I mean? He's like two steps before where he's not like running all the way through it. We looked down, and it was a 4.45. And we looked at each other. We're like, holy man. He's on our team. Like, oh, my gosh.
230
kid, pounds. 230
of
ripped
just
and
coming
just
down
smoked
the line.
A 40 without even trying.
It's probably like a 4.35
oh,
with
easy,
the way you described
easy,
it. You know, 'cause the
easy.
Way that bump, 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 you're like, just kind of easing right. into it, and then kapow.
Kapow.
We had Sirson during the handoff the other day right after we had Freddie T on, and he talked about a moment where he and Tony Boselli were – was it a practice, Tone? They were blogging. Was it a
it
game?
It might have been the Tampa game. Like, it might have been that play from that game.
Okay, it might have been that. And he – and Fred, like, cuts it moment. Back across the field and just –
I know,
is gone.
I remember.
And he said – he and Boselli just looked at each other from opposite ends of the line like, what just happened? Like, what is that? You know, like, you didn't see that package of gifts, athletic gifts, come together as often as you did Fred Taylor.
I mean, he's had a lot of great runs in the history. But that run, that touchdown, that 70-yarder against Tampa was unbelievable.
Well,
it was like his 32nd carry or something like that.
He told a story about that game, you know, being the, you know, he told Sapp and all those guys ahead of the game, I'm going for 100 on you. And they're like, better slow down, young man. You know, I think that's loaded. The one that put him well into triple figures, that big run. But mentioning that, obviously Tony Boselli's been in the news a lot this week and all our best for Big Bo.
Yep.
You know, the way we decided to handle it on this show, and I think most of the shows here, Tony has a right to his privacy. Tony was, according to his own story, kind of battling for his life a little bit there, a little bit scared of, you know, with the coronavirus in ICU at the Mayo Clinic. And he said on the second day that, you know, it got to the point where he heard the doctor saying, you know, if this doesn't work, we may have to put him on some kind of machine. And he's like, is that a ventilator? Like, he's freaking out, kind of like, you know, the whole thing going through his head. Like, how did I get here? I'm only 47 years old. So a couple of points here. Bottom line, A, Bo's on the road to recovery, which we're all extremely happy about. I mean, he's an icon here in the city of Jacksonville. But take it seriously, folks. He's 47. Tony Boselli, you know, we joke about, Tony, you get a little fat. You need an extra sandwich. Tony's in pretty good shape. Right, he's in much better shape than the average 47-year-old man walking around, I would wager to say. So, you know, if it can throw Tony into ICU for 5 days and not sure what the outcome's going to be, just follow the guidelines, you know. Really do what Tom's been doing this whole time for years, spraying everything down.
I love the
hand sanitizers. Yeah. I've been
waiting for those for how long?
They've done a really good job here, 10-10, I think, responding to the whole coronavirus situation. At least, you know, they tell us all the time, if you guys don't feel safe, stay at home. We'll work out a way for you to do the show. But, you know, we can distance each other here on the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, we're wiping down every surface. This whole place smells like of different varieties of Lysol, depending on what hour you walk in.
Smells good
here
to me.
I've gotten to love the smell of Lysol. I'm not a hand sanitizer guy because, you know me with, like, the newsprint, right? Like, it'll gets in my lungs and I can't breathe, right? Really perfumey stuff will do that to me. And there's a lot of hand sanitizer,
like,
but this stuff's pretty good. Yep. And, you know, I'd rather have a difficulty breathing from the hand sanitizer than from the coronaviris. Yeah. So be safe.
It's out there now. Pretty much everybody, I would think, knows somebody, at least that knows somebody that has been affected by
I think it's important. Look, it wasn't our place to tell Tony's story when he was battling this, right? Definitely. Like, that's his personal business.
Yeah.
I think it is great for Tony to help continue to put another face on it. You know, you never know who's going to be the guy. You hear Rudy Gobert, Tone. Well, you know, maybe in Jacksonville, nobody connects with Rudy Gobert, right?
Sure.
But everybody in Jacksonville kind of connects with Tony Boselli and realize here's a dude not even 50 years old, and it can get you no matter what. So the more people who get it and talk about, you know, how they got it and what you can do to prevent it and why you want to avoid it, I think is better.
I'm a little extreme, but even with the hand sanitizer, I'll put it over my nose and mouth, too. I rub it into my hands first and then I
finish. Because you might have touched your face previously.
Just to be, you know, sometimes my ears, too, you know. I don't know.
Whatever works for you, Tom.
Right. Keep those germs away.
Right. Hey, look, I'm scrubbing, like, I don't know how many times a day, but I think we all are.
But be safe out there, man. Take the precautions seriously. Just, you know, look, we saw the essential list. It's basically everything is, not everything, but you still can live your life.
There's a lot, right.
Just
there's a lot you can do.
Just be careful.
As we had Dr.
Smart.
Kaplan on yesterday from JOI. Obviously, Kevin's he's an orthopedist, he's a doctor, and he's like the key thing we talked about was being conscientious. Like, if you're going to play golf,
Golf courses are remaining open.
Right.
Don't just take it for granted. You know, like wipe down all the surfaces you're going to touch and ride by yourself. That's an edict out there. I do think if you're like family members, they allowed you to ride. Like a husband and wife can ride together, but you know, ride in a solo cart. Don't touch each other's clubs. Don't you know, leave the flag stick alone and all that kind of stuff.
The people you're quarantined with, you just you're with them.
Right.
I'm not staying 6 feet apart away
now,
from my wife.
If I were to come down with it, I would find a way to try to quarantine myself in my house away from my family. You know, like if I knew I had it, but until we're not quarantining ourselves from the three of us now. So
I'm glad Tony's doing better, man. And good news is people are recovering, and hey, it's a real thing. So make sure you're, you know, just being cool.
Right. Not everybody does recover though.
No,
so
you're right.
And, you know, look, they're gonna be For every Tony, there may be countless people, I don't know what the number would be, that don't even show any symptoms, may not even know they ever had it, right? And that's part
of it,
too.
May have had it since December. You don't know.
You can spread it without even knowing you have it. So be careful. Apparently, the guy in Georgia just learned that 2 days ago. Everybody else has been talking about that for 6 weeks or something like that.
I remember talking about that when we went to the Super Bowl. Like, it was in the air when we went down to Miami.
Right, that there were silent spreaders and people could have it and be asymptomatic and potentially they
didn't. Because I thought about it being in that big
worked.
Room at Radio Row. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
You know, because it was right at the beginning of any discussion about it
that
there's a state governor that's like, I just learned.
We just learned within the last 24 hours. All right. Just another reason that Florida beats Georgia, I guess, except on the football field recently. All right. We will move on. We'll come back. We'll turn our attention to the quarterback prospects in the first round of the draft.
Awesome.
Now, will the Jags take one? Maybe not. Probably not. Although a lot of the mock drafters seem to be leaning in that direction. But Greg Cosell is a guy that I think we all have a lot of respect for from NFL Films. He is a very dispassionate film breaker downer. Okay. Yeah. Like he doesn't care. He doesn't have an agenda. He'll tell you what he sees. He's not always going to be right. He's not always going to be able to project who's the best player, but he's going to give you his honest analysis. And he went on the Rich Eisen podcast and talked about Burrow, Tua, Love, Herbert, kind of where they all fall in relation to each other, and some interesting comments. We'll have that coming up for you. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and E.T., you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Tommy Mack here with us on Jaguars Today. Thomas, a lot of mock drafters.
Say Thomas when I'm in trouble.
I know.
Thomas!
I get, Emmanuel calls me Michael. I have nothing to go to. I call him Emmanuel.
Emmanuel's playing the Bill Withers here.
Yes, he is.
No sunshine, yo.
Ain't no sunshine. When she's gone, Bill Withers is gone.
And it depends on what day. If we're playing golf, it's young Eldrick. You know, it might be Tizzle sometimes.
It could be, I'm trying to.
A man changes names like he changes hats.
The hardball hypocrite. That's what I was going to go with. What could he be? He's worn four different baseball caps this week, four different teams. The hardball hypocrite, H squared. There you go. Bill Withers passed away. I would not have, you remember Bill Withers? I'm like, What did he do? Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
She's always gone too long or something like that.
Anytime she goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's gone. He gone. Did he die of?
Passed away at the age of 81. So they said heart complications.
Okay. No matter what got him. You're 81, man. Well, except my in-laws are 80. When you're 91, man. All right.
My mom's going to be 89 in a couple weeks.
When you're 109, man, you know,
it might be time.
It's time to go. And did you see the one person who is 108 who died from the coronavirus? Now, look, they were probably going to die of something soon anyway, but 108 years old and had lost a close relative to the Spanish influenza in 1918.
I think I saw that,
Like a sister or something like imagine that.
Right.
102 years ago, your sister died of the Spanish flu.
Right.
And now, you know, they're not going to get me. Well, 108, man. Right. You know what?
May
I die of anything at the age of 108.
No kidding.
I don't know if I got 57 more years in me, Tone. I haven't even made it to 57 yet. Knees are creaking. I didn't get my six miles in yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
Nice.
Went out and hit
some
balls.
Ankle?
I got a little ace bandage action. I iced it down a couple of times.
Your Achilles?
Yeah, it's like that's just tendonitis is all it is. But you know, once I got going after about a mile, you know, I kind of just numbed out and did my 6 miles, and I felt good the rest of the night. Woke up this morning stiff as a board.
I tell you, I've been running a lot myself. I miss the sand helps me so much compared to the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Concrete next day, I mean, I'm just dying. It just hurts. Knees hurt, ankles hurt, hips hurt, everything freaking hurts. I still do it. Because, you know, what else are you going to do when you're
unless
locked
my,
out? I'm
going
to go for a run, man. Give me 2 hours. I'll see you later.
Unless, like, my family or somebody I really care about is trapped in a burning car, I do not see myself ever running again. Ever. I mean, seriously.
Oh,
my knees
man.
Are not.
I do this minute on and then 30-second walk, run, walk. And it's good for me.
Yeah.
It is.
I clocked
them. It's up. A little it's a competition. You know, you got a minute to get as – how far can you get in a minute? Sometimes you're going fast. Sometimes you're tired. You know, you just do it for – I'm up to like 7 miles now, walk, running.
Good for you.
Yeah. I ran a mile this morning in 7 minutes and 20 seconds, Tommy Mack.
Ooh, nice. That's good. That's a good –
See, he's throwing that out there because just in case you want a challenge. So.
He didn't hear that. I ran it in 7 minutes, 20 seconds, Tommy Mack. What's up?
720?
Yeah. Mm. What's up?
That would be challenging. But
you already threw down the kickboxing challenge. I passed that along to
Manuel.
I'm cool.
All right, so we're even. So I don't have to run your mile.
You don't run. You're 1-1.
I don't have, we're even. We're even. We're the same.
All right, so let's. Some of these mock drafts coming out lately have had the Jaguars taking quarterback quite a few.
Yeah.
Here's Charles Davis in his second mock today. Actually has him going offensive line with the ninth pick.
Ooh.
Taking Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa, right? Who, super athletic freak.
Yeah.
Right? Very, very.
Big dude. Athletic freak.
The one knock, now I don't know. I didn't watch enough Iowa football to know this. And if I had, I wouldn't have been focusing on an offensive lineman probably. But that sometimes he doesn't display that killer instinct to just dominate guys play in, play out. But he's got the ability. Anyway, so Davis says some may see the Jags taking a receiver here, but Wirfs' ability to play tackle or even kick inside to guard would really strengthen this offense. Then he adds, could the Jags surprise a bit and go quarterback here? So that's in the air right now for people.
Yep.
So I found it interesting. Tony, we have a lot of respect for the opinion of Greg Cosell from NFL Films, and I think he's a good evaluator. And he went on the Rich Eisen podcast and – play a few cuts here, just kind of laying out his thoughts on this quarterback class. He started out being asked if Joe Burrow is clearly the number one quarterback in the class compared to Tua or anyone else, and if so, why?
Well, I see Joe Burrow as clearly the number one quarterback prospect, so to me, he's number one. I think he's a better prospect than Tua. I think Burrow has better traits overall than Tua. I think that when you look at Burrow, the only thing you would say with Burrow, you could say the same thing about Tua, but I think the only negative, and reasonable people will disagree about this, is that he doesn't have higher level arm strength. But I think every other quarterback trait that you're looking for, Burrow possesses. And he's terrific with his understanding of pocket movement, both inside the pocket, outside the pocket. He's very poised. He's very calm. I think he has high-level traits other than the arm strength. And I think different people will see that differently, but the NFL passing game has changed.
And he talked about, you know, the criticism, is he a system quarterback? Like, he fit what Joe Brady did, and he went on to say, look, they're all system quarterbacks, with the rare exception. Patrick Mahomes defies that. He can play. You put him in any system and he could play. He said Drew Brees is a system quarterback and he couldn't play in any system.
You build your offense around your quarterback.
Right. I mean, so you build it to his strengths, and clearly Cosell loves the strengths of Joe Burrow. Overwhelmingly, it sounded like, prefers him as the top quarterback in the class.
Minus the arm. I didn't realize Joe.
Doesn't have that. It's not like,
it's not a
like,
rocky.
Like Jordan Love can squeeze it in there, you know. It's good, but it's not. You know, not Brett Favre, not Aaron Rodgers, that kind of deal.
So not a lot of zip?
Not as much.
Okay.
You know, not the top yeah, end.
It's interesting. Because, you know those windows, they close quick in the NFL, man, a lot quicker than college.
But, like, you look at Brady.
You can anticipate.
Brady, he pre-snap, you know,
he's got a pretty big arm, though, doesn't he?
Brady?
He used to be able to throw it deep.
But it's not like he was never known as having, you know, that just –
It feels like anytime that conversation, like everyone brings up Stafford, Favre, you know, even a Cutler, like those types of guys where it's those plus arms.
Doesn't make you the best quarterback necessarily, but
it's just another tool in the tool belt if you can use it properly. And Greg Cosell was asked, you know, talking about Tua, especially compared to Burrow, why he feels like Tua is limited.
I think Tua is very much system-based. I think he's a timing rhythm player. I think he needs to be in an offense where the ball comes out quick, where he hits his back foot and he moves and the ball comes out. I don't think he's a great athlete. I think that for Tua to be a great player in this league, stylistically, he would have to play like a Drew Brees. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not that athletic. I think his movement ability is fine, but it's not high level. So I think he needs to be with a team that understands what he is and what he isn't. But if you put him in that situation where RPOs are a big factor, where it's a rhythm passing game, he can be an effective player.
Now, that's again, if you're listening closely to what Cosell says there, he's not saying Tua can't move.
Right.
He's just like, don't think he's this guy that's just going to circle around, extend the play forever. You know, like I would wager to say he would probably think Gardner Minshew's elusiveness tops Tua's just based on, you know, what we've seen from Gardner in the NFL. And, you know, again, he said you can't just the system quarterback thing. Everyone is to a degree, but he feels like he's really pigeonholed to a narrow band of systems. But this is where I thought it got interesting. And he was asked, Greg Cosell was asked, this is on the Rich Eisen podcast, where does he have Tua in relation to some of the other quarterbacks? So Jordan loves the Justin Herberts, and here's what he had to say.
I would say he's a good prospect. I don't think he's a great prospect. I don't think there's anything about Tua's game when you watch him that you say, wow. I happen to be a Jordan Love fan. I like Jordan Love's game. I like his overall talent level. I like the fact that he's a ball distributor, that he's also a rhythm player, and he's 6'4", over 220 pounds. Tua has one issue, Rich, that to me needs to be cleaned up and can be cleaned up. He has a tendency, and maybe because he knows he doesn't have a big arm, he has a tendency to do what we call climb the pocket, step up into the pocket when he doesn't need to. And at 6 feet, that needs to be cleaned up because he will create his own pressure in the NFL if he does that. I would potentially take Love over Tua, and I would take Love over Herbert.
Yeah, so, you know, it sounds like he definitely would take Love over Herbert. Potentially, he likes, I think, the upside of Love there. It wasn't written in stone, but that to me, that was a lean towards Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly over Herbert, so because he had Tua and Love so close, I would imagine he would rank them Burrow, Love, Tua, and Herbert in that order, which, you know, you've heard a few things like, hey, mate, you know, Tua's not necessarily the second quarterback on every board out there. Mm-hmm. I think most people would presume that would mean Justin Herbert was the guy who came into the season.
Yep.
You know, like, had he come out last year, people thought he might have been, you know, pretty high draft pick and was probably as good a bet to be the number one overall other than Tua coming into this season.
Yeah, I said it a couple weeks ago with Tua, or maybe it was a month ago, I don't know. I just, you know, he's obviously a very, very good college football player. There's no doubt about that. But every time I watch him play, and I didn't watch every game, it seemed like his guys were open. And he put it on the money to him, and he threw it a long way from time to time. I mean, look, in the championship game, that guy had about 3 or 4 steps on his guy. It was a great throw. I loved it. It was phenomenal. And put him on the map right away, but that's college, and then you hear about the arm. Again, the arm, it is everything, but you can get by with not having that number one arm, you know, slinger, if you will. But for me personally, I want a slinger. I want a guy that can really whip it and do it on the run, in the pocket, what have you. And to me, if you're Tua, if you're not athletic like Russell and you don't have an arm like somebody, you know, like what are you got to have one or the other, you know what I mean? It's like an undersized defensive end like Freeney, blazing fast. He ran a 4.4. I mean, you can't block the guy, right? As opposed to if he was that size and didn't have that,
right?
He'd get killed. You got to have one or the other.
Larry Hart.
My point is, at least to my, but you got to have one or the other if you're going to make it in the NFL. Now, that doesn't mean if you got a great arm, you're automatically going to make it in the NFL. There's much more to it than that.
Sure.
But to me, if you don't have that, nor you don't have the athletic ability that you'd think that Tua would have, those would throw up red flags for
you. I just thought it was interesting because I think, you know, for me personally, I won't try to project into anyone else, but I would suspect others feel this way, that, you know, when you see them pairing Love up
more often with the 20th pick with the Jags, but even occasionally with the 9th selection and would the Jags consider Jordan Love here, my feeling is, man, he's just a collection of tools. And, you know, we've seen a lot of these guys come down the line over the years. I mean, Kyle Bowler infamously could throw the ball through the goalpost from the 50-yard line on his knees, right? And he had an incredible arm, but couldn't play quarterback, you know, at least not to the NFL standard. This is the first time somebody who I really respect their opinion on this kind of stuff really put it out there like, you know, I think I might go that direction. I might prefer him to Tua. I haven't heard that much from this high level of an analyst.
Remember when Kaepernick came out of Nevada? I forget what year that was, but I remember seeing him. It was either in a bowl game or I can't remember, but he was. I was like, gosh, dang, this guy can throw it a mile, and he's athletic.
He had a massive arm.
Massive arm. Woo. You know,
And he didn't have to put any arc on it either.
No, I know.
I mean, he could just zip it on a line.
Yeah, he really could. And I think I saw him at the combine, too, and he backed it up. He's just like, holy cow, this guy. And he kept moving up, right?
Right.
I mean, he wasn't.
I saw a video of him throwing a 96-mile-an-hour, like, opening pitch.
Wow.
Like, he just went out to the mound, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. I might be comparing because they played in a similar conference, maybe like Nevada. Where's Love?
Utah State.
Eh, Nevada. They're probably similar, I would think, as far as against talent, right?
Yeah.
So you know, does he have that kind of arm? Does he have that kind of athleticism? What do they? You know, what are the knocks? I know he threw a lot of picks.
He's just a big. I mean, like a big strapping dude, and he is very mobile, and he's got a howitzer of an arm, man. He really
it's
does.
Tough to not
but
want.
A lot of turnovers, right?
Right.
But you got to, you know, you got to weigh all these things. What kind of supporting cast did he have?
And you got to see how the turnovers took place, right? Because
sure.
As a coach, you'd be able to, okay, that was his fault. Okay, that was the receiver or the tight end. He didn't run the right route or he stopped or whatever.
I just thought it was really interesting, though, that the guy that well-respected in the draft community is basically like, you know what, after – Burrow, I might go Love here.
It's hard to pass up that arm, man. You get enamored by the arm.
I know, but Tua, for a couple of years, without these injuries, I hear Matt Hayes talk about it all the time. Tua doesn't get hurt last year. Is he the number one overall pick? He may be. Maybe not over Burrow, but would there be any question that he'd be like the second guy off the board that Washington would find a way to move down? And they still may. You know, it just.
Well, I think the conversation about Love and we're hearing from guys like Cosell is saying that maybe it would still be. You know, like for NFL guys, the question may still have been there, even if Tua had been healthy. Yeah. Like looking at these guys just as prospects, not as the Alabama quarterback who won 3 national titles, right?
But did it in such an efficient way.
Yeah.
I mean, his numbers were eye-popping.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's Burrow, 60 and – what did he have, 60 and 6? Is that what he's 10-to-1 touchdown interception ratio?
I know it was 60.
Ratio, though, for Joe Burrow this year. It took that kind of a season to move him clearly ahead, you know.
But he's one thing about Burrow, I remember even the year before, and only saw like maybe 3 or 4 games, you could tell his toughness right away. I mean, he'd get drilled in the pocket and get back up, and you know, next time he's still standing there in the pocket. That's a big trait you got to have at any level, but especially in the NFL, especially as a rookie, because they're gonna fool with you. You know, you're gonna get confused. You may not know where the guy's coming from, and next thing you know, you're jacked up.
You know, here's the thing: we sit here like I don't want him to take quarterback. I'd rather address other needs and give a year to Gardner and find out if he's the guy. But you know, I sit here and say that. I'm not the GM whose job it is to make the right call.
Right.
And, you know, Kansas City could have done that and run it out with Alex Smith for another year.
Right.
And they made the bold move, and it paid off as the right one. You may not get any benefit from Jordan Love this year at all, particularly because the offseason program is going to be shrunk to nothing practically. But a year or two down the line, could his ceiling be that of a top 5 quarterback in the NFL? It's a tough business, man, to try
it
to
– is.
To evaluate these
prospects.
Well,
I mean, look, and we know they like Gardner. They like him a lot. But can you just go in with – can that be – you know, is that – can you just have that, right? And how risky is that? It's pretty risky, right? Now, you could bring in a veteran backup. You know, you can bring in somebody else.
Cody Kessler's available again, as is Blake.
But I tell you what, if you think about it, it's just the year – you know, a year removed from each other, him being a rookie. Now he's a second-year player, so he's still got to win the job. It's not like they're going to give it to the kid. I don't know.
Right now it's his job.
No, that's what I'm saying. Then if they drafted somebody, sure. It's not like they're going to be like, all right, it's his job. You're going to fight for it. See who wins, you know, as much as you can in this offseason. But I wouldn't be surprised. I don't. You know, it's funny. One thing you got to give Dave credit for, his smoke screen has been pretty good this offseason, right? I mean, he was. I know, you know, we didn't believe him when he said the linebacking crew was a position of strength.
Well,
and then he went and got Schober. You know what I mean? So he's who knows?
By that standpoint, then they're loading up on offensive linemen because those were the two positions talked about. Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
I hope they do.
Let's step aside here. We'll come back. This Dayton football and the drive around the NFL. Plenty more on the Jags, including a couple of more mock drafts. Rodney Gunter joined the franchise show yesterday. You'll hear that conversation coming up as well. One of the Jaguars' offseason free agent signings here in 2020 on the defensive line. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and ET Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, here's what happened on this date in football history. Got a quartet of birthdays to note. Jim Parker, probably the best player in league history, born on this date, was the eighth overall pick in 1957 by the Baltimore Colts. Spent all 11 of his NFL seasons with that franchise, and in that time made 8 Pro Bowls and was an 8-time first-team All-Pro as well. 2-time NFL champ and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1973. Parker passed away in 2005 at the age of 71. Would have been 86 years old today. Also born on this date in 1949, Lyle Alzado. Alzado passed away way too early at the age of 43. Back in 1992, he would have been 71 years old today as a defensive lineman for the Raiders and many others. He spent 15 seasons in the National Football League, made 2 Pro Bowls, 2-time first-team All-Pro. He's a 1982 Comeback Player of the Year, a part-time actor as well. Ultimately, Alzado passed away from cancer that he believed came from years of abusing steroids. It never was proven to be the cause and effect there, but that's what he believed and became a staunch anti-performance-enhancing drug advocate in the final years of his life. Born in the state, 2 guys in 1982. Happy 38th to Jared Allen. You look at him, he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day. Yep. 8 double-digit sack seasons, including he had 22. In 2011, made 5 Pro Bowls, 4-time first-team All-Pro. He's got a better chance than Chad Owens does, however.
That gets you the highest paid in your position.
22 sacks will get you the highest paid. I would agree with that. He retired at 33.
Did he really?
8 double-digit sack seasons. Chad Owens was a 6th-round pick by the Jags in 2005. He played in 6 total games in 3 years with Jacksonville that featured 13 punt returns and 5 kick returns for Chad Owens, also 38 years young today. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Kansas City Chiefs are bringing wide receiver Sammy Watkins back on a reworked 1-year deal with $9 million in base salary that could be worth up to $16 million with the incentives. The move saves the Chiefs $5 million in the cap this year. Watkins caught 52 passes for 673 yards and 3 touchdowns last season. He caught 9 of those passes with 198 of those yards and all 3 of those touchdowns in the season opener against the Jags, meaning he caught 43 for 475 and no touchdowns in the other 15 games last season.
Had 2 big playoff games.
Yep, he did.
And that's probably what kept him around in Kansas City, honestly.
Blaine Gabbert heading back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a 1-year deal to come in and be the backup for Tom Brady. So Blaine Gabbert will be backing up Tom Brady, and Byron Leftwich will be coaching Tom Brady this season. Weren't those two guys drafted to replace one another or something around here at some point in time? Tennessee announced yesterday that running back Derrick Henry has signed his $10.2 million franchise tender. Another free agency deal has fallen through the cracks. This time it's cornerback Eli Apple, who had agreed to a 1-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's a free agent again. The Raiders have agreed to a 1-year deal with safety Demarius Randall.
I still want Logan Ryan. People were asking me yesterday, what about Eli Apple? What about Drake Kirkpatrick? If I have my choice. I don't know, because D-Rock, was it D-Rock yesterday? I think it was, who said he thought the Rashawn Melvin signing kind of came because they knew things were falling apart with Denard.
I think it was Osher. Okay.
Was it Osher who said that? Okay.
Oh, okay.
That already was sense. Their pivot with Denard was to go to Melvin.
So, which you know, at the time I thought, no big deal, bring in, because Melvin's only on a one-year contract.
Right.
And Denard would have been on a three-year deal, and let them all go at it, man. I thought they were building some depth. So if they want to go out and get another veteran corner, it wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Kirkpatrick's available?
Drake Kirkpatrick just got cut, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be interesting.
Where is the offseason where we're going after former Bengals? So. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it is. Schobert, Neifert, and we had Denard. And who knows, Andy Dalton if he gets released down the line. All right, I got a pop quiz for the trio here.
Oh.
I'm going to have you guys work together on this pop quiz, okay? Because today's question.
Do I need to write it down?
You do not. Okay. I'll keep track of things for you as best I can. Today's question of the day out there on social media is, who is your favorite Jaguar player who's never been to a Pro Bowl? So our man Joey on Twitter sent me, at Joey Jaguars 98, a handy list from Pro Football Reference where they credit 30 different Jaguars for going to at least one Pro Bowl.
Really?
I want to see how many of the 30 you can get. We'll go around the table. All right. Oh, yeah, there's some obvious easy ones, right, that have been to at least one Pro Bowl. You get three strikes between you.
Oh, this is a great game.
Who would like to begin? Tom
McManus? Yeah, I'll try,
Just give me one Jaguar who's been to a Pro Bowl.
Brian Barker.
There you go. He goes, That's a little bit deep cuts, but that's fine. Brian Barker went to a Pro Bowl in 1997.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
by the way, overwhelming majority of these have only been to one Pro Bowl, but so be it.
Okay.
So
that's one. We got one
out
of 30.
One for one. Who would like to go next? Tony Smith.
Maurice Jones-Drew
has been to three Pro Bowls, 2009, 2010, and 2011. So we're two for two. E.T.
Calais
Campbell has been to three Pro Bowls, 17, 18, and 19. His 3 years with the Jags, three for three.
Freddie T.
On going to the Pro Bowl. Fred Taylor went to one Pro Bowl, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Is he on this list here?
Did he not?
Yes, he is. There he is.
Yeah,
he went to one in 2007, but he was just down near the bottom of the list the way they sorted it. So, yep, we're four for four.
I'll keep knocking off the big ones. Tony Boselli.
Tony Boselli's been to five. Welcome back to Good Health, Big Bo. 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, and would have been many more, I'm sure, had he not gotten hurt. But glad to have you back on the good side of things, Tony, with your health headed in the right direction. So, Tony Boselli, we're five for five. E.T.?
Everyone's favorite, Jalen Ramsey.
Had to be done, right? I mean, look, give the devil his due. 2017, 2018, 2019, Jalen Ramsey was a hell of a football player for the Jacksonville Jaguars until he quit on him. But other than that, he absolutely was. And I guess he gets credit for being, you know, he spent part of 2019 with the Jags, did go to the Pro Bowl. Either way, he's clearly been to the Pro Bowl. Six for six. Tom McManus.
Jimmy Smith
has been to five of those bad boys. 97, 98, 99, 2000, and 2001 for Jay Smooth. So we are seven for seven. Tony?
Paul Posluszny
went to a single Pro Bowl in 2013. Absolutely correct, sir. That is eight for eight. He has this look on his face like he's going to be the first one to get a strike.
Yeah, no, but
we still got some big ones out
yet,
there.
Not yet, man. Telvin.
Telvin Smith has been to a Pro Bowl for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was in 2017 when it seemed like everybody on the defense went that year. So we are nine for nine. Trying to go 30 for 30 like ESPN.
Like
what
Jameis.
You got, Tommy Mac?
Leon Searcy.
Big Searcy in the house was a Pro Bowler. Where are we at, Leon? 1999 for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, I thought he was multiple.
Nope, just the one.
Wow.
But ding, 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 it counts.
Yep, that's right.
Tony
that's
Smith?
10.
I'll go recent as well. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen went to the Pro Bowl this very year and hung out with our man Calais. 2019 is only Pro Bowl appearance because he's only had one shot at it. So eight for eight.
DJ
Chark. We're 11 for
11. 11 for 11.
Yeah, we're 11.
I cheated.
We're 11.
DJ Chark says ET, and he is correct. 12 for 12 went to the Pro Bowl in 2019 as well in his second season. Tommy Mack, 12 for 12. We make it a baker's dozen. Unique Ngakoue in 2017, a Pro Bowler for the Jacksonville
13?
Jaguars.
12?
13, perfect
13. Yeah, 13, that's right. Yeah.
Lucky 13, Tone.
Let's go Rasheen Mathis.
Rasheen Mathis has been to a Pro Bowl, absolutely, in 2006. I think he had eight interceptions that year, so we are 14 for 14. E.T., it's on you, baby.
Let's go with Big John.
Big John Henderson. John Henderson in 2004 and 2006, a two-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle. 15 for 15. Halfway there without a blemish. Who you got?
Double D.
Double D.
Dang it.
And Donovan Darius draws the first of three strikes. Oh, never been to a Pro Bowl.
I thought he went to one.
Keeping Donovan out there in our positive
Love
thoughts
him.
As well, yep. man. Tony Smith, we are 15
Damn,
and one now.
Damn, I got a strike.
Keenan McCardell.
Keenan McCardell went to the Pro Bowl as a Jaguar in 1996. So
just one.
Just the one with the J. I think he might have gone with the Bucks as well once.
I'm not sure.
Maybe not. But I know he definitely went with the Jags in 96. Yeah. So we got 16 of them. E?
Now, does it have to be did he go to the Pro? It has to be
with the Jaguars.
Okay. I mean, I said Big John. I'm going to go with Marcus Stroud.
Three-time
Big
Pro
baby.
Bowler. Come on now. 2003, 2004, and 2005. So we got 17 with one strike. Tommy Mack.
I'm going to go with Brunell.
Mark Brunell's been to three Pro Bowls. In fact, he was a Pro Bowl MVP.
That's right.
96, 97, and 99 for Mark Brunell. He's like, why didn't you mention that earlier when you talked about the five interception game? Three-time Pro Bowler, Mark Brunell. We got 18 out of 30, Tone.
It felt like the whole defense went to the Pro Bowl in 1999. I'll give you Carnell Lake.
I will give you Carnell Lake. Because Tony and I now, we had the advantage of doing the show from the Jaguars radio studio for about 5 years.
Yep.
And that wall right across had the Pro Bowl cheerleaders, including your lovely bride, and the Jaguar Pro Bowlers in photos. So what is that, 19 now? 19 and 1 we're at?
So.
What do you got, E?
Oh, man.
Arnold Lake off the board.
I'm going to go with Kevin Hardy.
Kevin Hardy went to the Pro Bowl in 1999.
Everybody went 99.
Yes, they did. A lot of them did. We got a lot of recent guys, too, on here. But so far, we got 20 out of 30 with only one strike. Who you got, Tom?
Tony Brackens.
Tony Brackens.
That it was 1999.
Went in 1999. Tony is absolutely correct there. 21 up, one down. Tony, what you got next?
Now I'm thinking that 17 team.
Are you guys looking on a computer? You guys?
I am.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm not. I wrote down a bunch of names like when this started.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at my list. I'll go Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson, 2017. That was quite a collection of Jags in the Pro Bowl that year, and Malik was one of them. So we've got 22 now. 22 and 1. E.
Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson went to the Pro Bowl in 2015 with a 1,400-yard, 14-touchdown campaign. So we're up to 23 now. Seven to go with one strike.
David Garrard.
David Garrard went to the Pro Bowl in 2009. Absolutely correct, sir. Very well done. That gets us to 24. We got six to go. Tony Smith.
A.J. Boye.
A.J. Boye went to the Pro Bowl. He was an all-pro, I think second-teamer, but nevertheless, in 2017, I keep losing track. That's, what, 25, right? I think we're on 25.
I don't know. I lost.
25 with five to go? we had seven to go with you. You got Garrard.
Yeah.
He got Boye. Who you got, E?
Didn't Blake go?
Did Blake go to a Pro Bowl?
When A-Rob
He's
went.
Not. He
didn't go to a Pro Bowler. Like, 17 was one of those years where it was like, was Blake going to be, like, the fifth alternate?
Oh, or 15 could have been.
15, yeah. It was like, was he going to get far enough down the list? And he had already told him I wasn't going to the Pro Bowl.
All right, so tragic. Strike two. With five Jaguars to go.
I thought it was it's collective. Not
collective,
each guy.
No,
got it. Got it.
Oh,
so we're under the gun here. Okay.
Yeah, five to go. Can
you
one. Get it?
Yeah, I got one.
You got one.
Yeah, Mike Hollis.
Mike Hollis has been
Good
to
call.
The Pro Bowl. There you go. Yeah. I was going to give you a clue. Think specialists here. Let's see. Mike Hollis.
Ooh, I know.
1997 Pro Bowler. You guys can collaborate if you're stuck, if you want to. We got four to go, Tony.
Thinking specialist, I'll go two-time Pro Bowler, I believe, Montel Owens.
Montel Owens, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
2010 and 2011 as a special teams cover man. Yes, indeed. We're down to, what, the final three?
Oh, my
Is that where
gosh.
We're at right here?
Come on, E.
No, I need a lifeline, fellas.
All right, let's see. We've
lifeline.
Got, here's who we've got. Baselli, MJD, Calais, Ramsey, Jimmy Smith, Brian Barker, Rasheen Mathis, Kevin Hardy, Marcus Stroud, Mark Brunell, Montel Owens, John Henderson, DJ Chark, Keenan McCardell, AJ Boye, Malik Jackson, Big Sirs. Skip those three in a row there. Telvin Smith, Josh Allen, Mike Hollis, Allen Robinson, David Garrard, Yannick Ngakoue, Fred Taylor, Tony Brackens, Carnell Lake, Paul Posluszny. We're down to three.
I got a couple in mind.
Okay, you can talk amongst yourselves here out loud.
Without making it official?
No, you can talk. You can talk.
I'm pretty sure that Mercedes Lewis made it the year that he got the double-digit touchdowns.
I'm not sure.
I think that's the only one he got. But we had him on the radio. Actually, I am 100% sure because I had him on the radio that night when he got the call that he was
Let's go with it. You guys want to go with it? Yeah, I mean, you got less brain damage than me.
Lewis in 2010 was a Pro Bowler, ladies and gentlemen. Right. I believe we're down to two right here that we've done. I may have miscounted the total, but I know we're only have two names left on the list.
Maybe one. Go ahead.
I'm out, fellas.
Reggie Barlow, maybe?
No.
He was a great punt returner.
I don't think he went as a specialist. I don't think so.
Like, I think G-Funk made one here
Gary
in town.
Walker, 99, made it, I think.
Everyone else did. So let's...
Let's go with it.
Well, let me throw another one at you.
Okay.
What about a Greg Jones or a Mike Peterson from the 07-08 era?
I want to say Greg Jones probably would.
We need a name.
They didn't have a fullback position.
We need a name
for the Pro Bowl. I'm going Gary Walker.
Let's go with G-Funk.
Go G-Funk.
You said you thought you made it in 99. He did not.
Oh.
But he made it in 2001.
All right.
We're down to one left.
Wow.
Wait, which one? That was G-Funk?
G-Funk is good. G-Funk counts. Gary Walker is in there.
And who was the other one that you just said, Tony?
Tony threw out – who'd you throw out there? Mike Pete and
Greg Jones.
You know what? Neither one of them made a Pro Bowl as the Jaguars.
I'll tell you who it could be is Kyle Brady. I think one year at the Jags, he went.
Kyle Brady? Anybody else want to put somebody forth, or is that your final answer? What do you want to do here? Major Jaguar Pro Bowl pop quiz going down right
now.
Down to the final strike. Who is the name you will put forth?
I don't remember Brady making a Pro Bowl.
Walk away with a $500,000 now.
Did Marcel Darius go whenever everybody went?
No.
Okay.
You know,
Church or Gibson? Did they make
it that year?
No.
Gip should have made it one of those.
Chris Naoli, when he was here? Was it guard?
Offensive line was tough. You know what?
Come on, Tony.
I think it's Chris Hansen.
Oh, it is Chris Hansen. I think it is, too.
I think it is, too.
I forgot about him.
Is this your final answer?
I think it's Chris Hansen.
Are you sure you want to go with this?
Yes.
Risk your $500,000.
Yes.
Chris Hansen.
Yes.
In 2002, Chris Hansen was a Pro Bowl Jacksonville Jaguar.
Boom, baby.
That's right.
Well done, gentlemen. Well done. I think you would have got past Mike Pete and Greg Jones. You're already past Greg Jones pretty much anyway on that. So. That was the only kind of hint players. I gave you. Well done, guys. Very good.
Fun.
Only two strikes.
Not bad for
you made it through the entire list. So out of the guys we didn't just talk about, your question of the day, who's your all-time favorite Jaguar who never made it to one of those Pro Bowls? We'll come back. Roddy Gunter on the Frangie Show yesterday. We'll hear that conversation coming up.
You know, I've got so much respect for him. And, hopefully, he have a good career, good career in Baltimore.
Jaguars today on 1010XL.
That's Rodney Gunter talking about the respect he had for Calais Campbell, the two played together in Arizona. Yeah. We hope Rodney Gunter can come in and give us a percentage of the impact that Calais had, right?
Yes.
I mean,
higher the better.
That's a high bar, but Calais, as we you just went through, three Pro Bowls in 3 years with the Jaguars. Now, we would have you can listen to the entire Rodney Gunter interview, and we encourage you to do that. Go to 1010XL.com. It's in the on-demand section. But because, our fun and games went a little long there, let's play some highlights of what Rodney Gunter talked about yesterday, and starting out with why he chose to sign with the Jaguars in free agency.
I ride on Jacksonville because talented team, also you guys, they showed me much love in the free agency, so I had no choice but to choose Jacksonville. And also, I'm a Florida native, close to home, and family is excited for me to be here. So that's why it was no question.
They showed him much love. You want to interpret that one, Tony?
He got paid.
they showed him love.
They showed him more money. Yeah,
they gave him a job
than anyone else was
money
offering.
Money equals love.
That's right. Who's ever going to sign with Jacksonville again? I'm not saying Ronnie Gunter is the Tom Brady of the defensive class, right, at free agency.
Yep.
That's what we said all along. Whoever wants the money, right. and they offer Joe Schobert had no problem taking $50 million to come here. You know, Eifert had no problem coming here.
Although I read on one Arizona Cardinals something, they really liked him out there.
Gunter's a good
player. They really, really liked him on their
team. He is a good player. Again, I'm not trying to make him out to be Calais Campbell, but he can give you some of the same versatility. He can play big end, and he can slide inside on third down if you want him to. Good solid player.
Three-year
deal, still pretty young.
Speaking of versatility, he was asked how he expects to be used by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I would say I'm very fortunate to be versatile and play all positions. But it's up to the Jaguars. You know, I'm here to just play hard and embrace the coaches, embrace the system of me playing different positions. So it's not an issue with that, you know.
It's interesting to know what's in their mind. I don't know what's in their head right now because they've signed Al Woods, Cassius Marsh, along with Rodney Gunter. So I think Marsh is going to be a rotational, situational pass rusher. But, you know, how do they – like, they've got to anticipate that Jan's not going to be suiting up for it. They can't count on it, right? I mean, that doesn't mean they won't keep him under the franchise tag and hope for the best. But, you know, do they feel like they plugged the holes on the defensive line to the point where – it's not the top priority at number nine. Like, if you had two guys equally graded, or several positions equally graded, would you take the wide receiver? Would you take the offensive lineman? Would you take the D tackle? We were over the corner. I mean, they're whatever, but won't know until they do it. But
If you weighed O-line, D-line right now, I'd probably go O-line.
You would take O-line?
I would take
O-line. I would still probably go D-line.
You would?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a case to be made for both. Like, if you wanted to give me a guy who maybe could play a little guard the first year, compete at tackle, but ultimately you had nine, him sliding out to your left tackle spot beyond that.
Yeah.
Of course, when we draft Tua somehow, now Juwan
he's
Taylor
not playing
will be
guard.
Blocking the blind side.
That's right.
Let's see. Here's some memories of Rodney Gunter, what he had playing with the Arizona Cardinals.
As a rookie, you know, I was fortunate to be playing early. The guy in front of me, Corey Peters, went down with an injury. And I was behind him, and I was forced to play early. Not forced, but I was talented enough to play early. And I started, you know, every game. You know, besides, like, two or three games, I played in every game of rookie season. And from that point on, I knew that I could play at this level, you know. I kept my faith, and I continued to grow as a player. And I got so much to prove. I got a lot of football ahead of me.
Ronnie Gunter also asked yesterday, joining the Frangie Show, about looking back on his young career still, at least to this point, what does he look at as the biggest play of that career so far?
Oh, man, yeah, me sacking Russell Wilson.
He's a hard guy to get to.
Yeah, he's a hard guy to get to. And it was like the fourth down they was going for. Matter of fact, it was like fourth down, he was on the goal line. And I had Kane scouts free, and I sacked Russell Wilson. It was a big play, man. Biggest play of my career.
I wonder what Calais would have said. Obviously, Calais went to that Super Bowl, so that probably would have, you know, what would he have looked back as the biggest player moments other than the Super Bowl run, which obviously would have topped everything with his time with Arizona. And then finally, what's he looking forward to when things get back to normal again?
Yeah, they told me about the beast, man. I'm looking forward to see how the beast is going, you know. I'm looking forward to when everything gets back to normal. Looking forward to just enjoying Jacksonville.
All right, Tom McManus will show you the best running spots on the beach when you get here, Rodney.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So, you know, is he in Jax now? I think he is, right? He is in Jax
good
now. So, Rodney, if you're out there listening, man, welcome to the team. And
yeah, man.
Let's get this thing headed back in the right direction here.
That D-line needs to be beefed up. They've beefed it up so far.
Right. Not
some more.
Look, I've been saying this week, Tom, if there was some way where they could draft Derrick Brown – at nine, and somehow Kinlaw fell to them, or they traded up and took them both.
Right.
Wouldn't bother me.
Not at all.
A lick. Oh. And in fact, there was a mock out. Might have been the Charles Davis mock. Might have been somebody. No, he had a Tristan Wirfs going. No, it was one at CBS. They had I forget who they had the Jags going with the ninth pick. It was Kinlaw.
Yeah.
With Brown on the board.
Oh, wow.
Brown was on the board, and Akuda was on the board. Had him going Kinlaw, and in that mock, Brown made it to the 19th pick.
Wow.
Now, I know there are a lot of people out there, that's crazy, it'll never happen. Something crazy always happens, right? I would hope if the Jags saw him sliding like that into the teens, they would use some of that draft capital and make a move. And go get
this may not mean anything, but I watched him on his position drills at the Combine, Brown. He looked a little stiff in the lower body.
That is why
he slid a little bit.
The athletic measurables were not there for him. Now, the tape is good. The
tape's phenomenal.
But
exactly.
You're right that there's a reason they hold the Combine, you know, and you can say, well, just look at the tape. Then if it were that simple, they wouldn't have a Combine.
Yeah, no. Right?
I mean, it's a factor.
I mean, the tape and the Combine go together.
No doubt.
You got to bring them together.
By the way, Charles Davis mock, he had him going Tristan Wirfs at 9. We talked about before. He had him going – Trevon Diggs at 20. I like the idea. Trevon Diggs, Tony Pauline has sold me on him as being one of the top corners out there. But you do still see mocks where they get him at 42. I think that might be unrealistic.
Yep.
Damn, do those look appealing. you know, give me that guy at 42.
Heck yeah.
And let's play with some of those big wide bodies in the first
round. I'm with you on the DTs. I mean, man, Stroud, Henderson,
Could you imagine, phenomenal.
I mean,
let's say you spent a couple of your fourth round picks to move up and position yourself to do that and have Josh Allen, Derek Brown, Kinlaw, hopefully Jan, but if not, you know, Gunter and Smoot and a rotation, that would still be pretty.
Did you see that video of Smoot working out?
I did.
He looks great.
Jan thought it was corny.
Huh?
He didn't like that. You didn't see Jan's response to that?
Yeah.
You corn. You corn emoji. People have been.
Is that what it was? A unicorn emoji?
No, it was
just
the word "you" and then the corn emoji, like unicorn.
Not unicorn.
Nah, not a unicorn.
Right, gotcha.
Unicorn emoji. and so now people, and Jan's back to his semi-cryptic tweeting. It's not that cryptic. We all know. We get it. You hate playing here, so you want out. But people are now just replying to him. Unicorn.
Is there? Let me ask you this, because you know you keep hearing these. They want out. The players want out. Did Calais want out?
I think. Calais would have not said a peep if they had kept him here on the $15 million. He wouldn't have renegotiated his deal down here.
Okay.
Why?
Do you know
why? Because I think probably he knew they were –
I'd rather go to Baltimore now at his position.
Right, if I'm
going to
play – like, and he even said, like, I was willing to do it because he feels like they're close, and he renegotiated his deal, lowered his cap number. Now, he went from $15 million this year to $20 million guaranteed over 2 years.
Right, right.
But – he said, hey, look, if they want, you know, I think, put it this way, if they had said, oh, we're keeping you, Calais, he would have been a good soldier, great guy in the locker room, the same guy we've always had for the last three years. And, you know, then probably after this year would have looked to go.
Well, maybe his reasoning for wanting to go is different than others, right? And at his age, he's probably like, man, Baltimore.
Right. But like I said, like I think like if he had stayed here, he and Boye seemed like a good soldier type would have stuck with it, you know, and given, you know, even if they weren't. Nobody's happy winning 5 or 6 games, but that doesn't mean you have to make it all about you, and oh, what a you know. There are a lot of teams out there in that circumstance.
It's not just you
getting screwed there. All right, we'll come back. We'll look at your responses. Two things today. Who's your favorite Jaguar to never go to a Pro Bowl? And hopefully you've been listening for the full hour. You got the full list there. And also, what project, if any, are you looking to take on around the house in the next 4 weeks? We'll take a look at that, wrap things up for the broadcast week here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
His first three steps are like, bap, bap, bap. Boom, he hits it like a rocket. I mean, it was like a rocket ship. He pulls up like two, three yards before. You know what I mean? He's like two steps before where he's not like running all the way through it. We looked down and it was a 4-4-5. And we looked at each other. We're like, holy man, he's on our team.
Everything you need to know about the Jaguars today on 1010XL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Tommy Mack talking about Freddie T.
Let's finish strong, fellas.
Just messing around and running a little 4-4-5.
Yeah, just
in his
gallop
slippers
through here.
Whatever.
Take a little stroll.
He's like, he will challenge everyone to some kind of athletic endeavor. He says he will not challenge Fred to a race, though. Or
no,
will you?
No.
Something else, right?
Well, I mean, I challenge Lavernius, and I know Lavernius.
Lavernius is probably faster than Fred at the peak, right? I mean, just in pure 40-yard dash.
Yeah. But Fred is just that physical intimidation. Like, if I were to line up against him, like
he might smack you. Yeah. And then
I guarantee you right now he can throw down a 4-5, if not a 4-4, Freddie T.
Mm.
I guarantee you right now he still can do that. He told me a couple years ago. I remember walking in the stadium with him, and we were talking about it. I was like, he's like, I could rip off a 4-4. I was like,
then rip that groin muscle off the bone again.
Yeah,
but
I just like to do that once.
Just stretch,
to feel
Brent.
What it's like.
Right.
Like the wind, you know, against your face. I just want to feel what that's like.
Like the dog when you're going down the street and he's hanging his head out the window of the car.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You get that sensation. Like, oh, is this what Fred Taylor feels
this
like?
This is what Freddie feels like. Maybe that's it. Just stick your head out the window.
Right, stick your head out the window the next time you're driving down the road. All right, now we had a pair of questions today that we asked you out there on social media. And the first one, the official one, was who's your favorite Jaguar of all time? Mm-hmm. And this was brought up because we were thinking about Brant Boyer on the show yesterday. Your favorite Jag who has never been to a Pro Bowl. Tony, give us a sampling of what we got there.
Please. Here's what we got. We got Sendarek Marks, got a few votes. Yeah. Daryl Smith, Mike Peterson, Greg Jones. From Baxter, he said, between Reggie Nelson and Kyle Brady for him.
You know, Reggie was turned out to be a really good player.
Yeah, he did.
Just didn't do it here.
I'm surprised Daryl Smith never made a Pro Bowl.
Just, you know,
gosh, he was so good.
You got to get in the room first, man.
No, you're right.
Like, you get one. He's a guy that if he got one, he might have gotten three or four.
That's right.
You know, but he never got that one. From Samuel, he said Gardner Minshew. We got a few votes for him.
You know, that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron Beasley, Jadon Mickens got a few votes.
Jadon?
Yeah. Roy Miller.
Hello to Jadon's relatives listening to the program right now.
Blake Bortles, Aaron Beasley, Vince Manawai, Matt Jones, Donovan Darius, who we've talked about, Pot Roast. Got a few votes this morning.
Roast.
Brad Meester, Deion Grant, Tyson Alualu, Yurkovich.
Yeah, Grant was a great player.
Nick Sorensen. I'm not sure if Grant's just messing
Yurko,
with us there.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know. Sunshine. I mean, people love the for a brief
we'll see.
Spell.
A couple votes here for Tommy Mack.
Nice.
Josh Lambeau, Carson Tinker, Josh Scobie. All getting votes this week.
Very
Scobie
nice.
Scobie didn't make one either. No kidding.
Right. I know.
Gosh, dang.
Lambeau.
Tough business.
Hopefully.
At Pro Bowl.
You know, Gostkowski's gone out of New England, but you got Justin Tucker to deal with every year.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You hear in the and maybe it's just people speculate, but you see Cam going to New England? You see Bill going after him at all?
I know. At this point, I think it's
Stidham.
It's Stidham, Hoyer, and maybe a rookie.
Yeah.
Stidham, I like Stidham.
I mean,
I like that kid.
They're in kind of a – we'll see what it looks like at 23 –
yeah.
If they want to move up, because Jordan Love's a guy that we've seen attached to the Patriots for months now, and it feels more and more like he's getting pushed up beyond where they'd be able to get him, but maybe Herbert gets pushed down to him.
Yeah, right.
You know, who knows how that third, fourth quarterback's going to play out in the draft.
Right. So you guys have any projects over the next stay-at-home period or stay-at-home as much as possible period that you're going to try to take on around
the
house?
No, I normally my projects consist of if my in-laws need some help,
okay.
Like, you know, mowing the grass or I helped them put in they redid their or helped my mother-in-law, her and I did it. What do you call it? They like the boxes you put the bricks in for steps, you know what I mean? Like you space them out. We had to replace all those. So that was kind of an interesting
the
project.
Brick boxes.
I'm a good mule. Like I can move stuff. You know what I mean?
For some reason I could believe that.
Yeah, no, I'm good. And I take it, you know, with pride. I mean, look, I may not be able to
he's the muscle.
You know, figure out, you know, if this is the right angle or not. And I don't mean 90 degrees, I just mean a right angle. But I'll pound the hammer, you know, I'll pound the nail and you tell me where. You need me to unscrew something or crush something or carry something.
Don't be so
I'm
obtuse,
really good.
Tom.
Obtuse.
That was a little geometry pun for you right there.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. Your Jaguars today. Bonus question of the day. What home project are you going to try and get accomplished, if any, over the next 4 weeks? Let's see. Little grandma wants to paint her kitchen cabinets, then the walls and the dining room walls all the same color. Cabinets are going to be white, and the walls will be sage green. Isn't that lovely? And she wants to make sure her husband eats well every day because she likes to cook. Professor Floyd goes with installing towel racks. Chad says he's recorded a couple audiobooks, wants to start an audiobook project for YouTube. Samuel says finally cleaning his room well, then sending a picture to his mom. That's nice. Let's see. Improving my 6 raised bed vegetable garden and organize the garage. Plant more flowers. That's from Chuck Tribu, fandebate.com. Michael, our doctor up in Brooklyn, has been tweeting at us a lot lately, fighting on the front lines of the coronavirus situation. He said he wants to make this to perfection, and he includes a picture at hashtag Israeli, hashtag Arabic coffee. So he wants to become a master of Arabic coffee. JagFan15 wants to work on the cars. Meta World Crazy, this sounds about right. He's just trying to accomplish getting in the shower every day. I'm sure that won't be the case for everybody, right? Yeah, you're home, you're working at home, whatever. Let's see. Been wanting to write and complete a book. That's from Jags 1185. Had this idea and some writer's block for at least 2 years now. Good luck on that. Big BP 13 wants to drink bourbon and beer.
Nice.
TFS nice. Godfather says the fence area on the side of the house. He wants the fence in the area on the side of the house to hide the garbage and recycling can so he can get out of the garage or get them out of the garage. Let's see. I love this one from Derek. Most of what's on the list from when we moved into the house 6 years ago. That's true. That's how it goes.
Sure.
Like, you're like, hey, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And you're like, man, we own the place. We'll get around to it. And then finally, living the teal high life says he's going to be wearing out the remote, which I think a lot of people are doing. I am going to try to get to the garage starting this weekend.
Good.
I know I got some workout equipment in there that is still functional.
Use it.
It is. I got to get to it first.
Yeah.
I got to do some spelunking. And
I've been using this, I think it's a 4x4. For a little lifting. It's hard to grab, you know, so it's really good for your grip and stuff, but I've been doing all kind of different
4x4, huh?
Just happened to be there.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, I didn't make
Maybe I'll call J-Dog Junk Removal, get one of those roll-off dumpsters, man.
Yeah,
I got some junk I got to get rid of. There's no doubt about it.
Just hold that 4x4 just out in front of you. We used to have to do stuff like that in boot camp, just holding it out.
Yeah.
It's a workout.
Absolutely.
Oh, I got it. We got the challenge. It's the 4x4 challenge.
Who can hold it
Tom
longest?
Tom versus E.T. He's like,
forearms,
oh, man.
Don't fail me now.
I'm in boot camp again.
I'm
going
to start doing reverse forearm curls now. Damn it.
Let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Craving queso? Get a free kids meal with your order, plus free delivery. Order in the app or online at Moe's.com.
All right, Hacker Nation in the house. Hello, Hacker.
Mike, how are you?
Good. You going to doing any projects over the next 4 weeks or so around the house?
The garage sounds like a good idea.
Clean it out?
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff in the garage. Needs to be tended to, but a good way for me to get a couple of lifts in just to tote the baby around, man. He's about 24, 25 pounds now. I'll go up and down the stairs a few times with him, and you'll be good to go for some cardio.
Yeah, just grab him by his front, you know, shirt and do curls with him.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Good grip.
Yeah, you got to have a good grip.
Right.
Yes. Definitely make sure you're holding on to him.
Maybe do that with him hovering over the bed.
Exactly.
Too, you know? Just in case.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
Just in case it slips. Hack, what do you guys have coming up on the show today?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, college football. He's going to join us. He had an interesting article about what it would mean if there is no college football in 2020. We're also going to talk to Mark Wise, the Gator Sports IMG Network, back-to-back national titles for the Gators. This is the anniversary of that. Yesterday was the anniversary of the Ohio State win in 07. Today's the anniversary of the first win in 06. So we'll go down memory lane, talk about Noah, Horford, Green, and Brewer, and then Skip Carey, for talking about the Atlanta Braves and baseball in general. So going to talk what's next, I guess. What's being told inside baseball circles and a little Braves baseball, so I'm sure Tony will enjoy that.
Can you do me a solid and name drop Jim Leritz in there, if you don't mind? Just during your conversation with Skip Carey.
What was that?
See what his memories are.
1996?
96. Yeah. Mark Wohlers remembers
it. That ended Mark Wohlers' career,
can
basically.
Can we get that game on ESPN tonight, by the way? Or can we get the Pettit outdueling Smoltz 1-0 game? We'll take that one, either one. Or any of the last eight World Series games between the two teams would be fine. Late game winning.
I got to bring it up,
idea.
Heck.
Huh?
Like bring it up baseball
idea.
Around what's this Yankees
Tommy's
fan.
Tommy's got a crazy idea.
Well, you can't do a college football, but if it gets to this point, I say quarantine the NFL players and make a place. Play. You got the TV
it's
money.
It's been thought of, but you got to get to the point where you have widespread available testing that can be turned around like that.
Right.
You can't have it where you have to wait 10 days. These guys would have to be tested probably
15
multiple times
test,
a day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been talked about. Mark Cuban said, hey, he's for the NBA all going to one city, like basically sanitizing a hotel, keeping all the players in a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
All you would do is stay in your room, drive to the facility to practice or to play games, and however many facilities they have, he'd be like, you know what? We'd run 2-3 games a day, and you know, just you got to
like
do
it.
What you
got
to do.
You got the TV money. You got the contracts, right? Maybe they'll go for it.
We shall see. Hack, have a good show, bud.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes. Ryan the Hacker Green exiting but entering again in moments along with Matt Hayes, Joe C., and Leon Searcy. Tommy Mack, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right.
Always a pleasure.
Get your projects done, whatever that may be. Practice that 4x4 hold.
I got a couple workouts coming, that's for sure.
Yeah. E, you do the same now.
I'm going to practice.
We'll set this thing up. This could be great. Live stream.
I'm practicing, man.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm right. You better, young buck.
Let me cut your mic off real quick.
You better switch hands, too.
Let me cut your mic off.
I love this. We can set them up, Tony. They can socially distance from each other. And from a six-foot distance, they can hurl barbs all the time as they're trying to hold that 4x4. Cannot wait. All right. That's us. We like to sit back and have other people do
absolutely. I'll let the mule handle it.
I'm a mule too. I could hammer stuff. I could push stuff.
I bet you can, man. That little tight toys, those are nice and light
for you.
Okay.
You see this wall? You see this wall right here? It's about to disappear.
Uh-oh.
Let's all right. Join the podcast of Tom and Amanda as they go back and forth. That does it for us for Jaguars today. Hope you enjoyed the week. Thanks to all our guests this week. Thanks to all of you out there listening. That's McManus spraying the Lysol.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's about the 60th time during the show. He's wiping his face down with it. It's unbelievable. That will do it for us. For Tony Smith, for Tom McManus, for E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back Monday. Be safe. Be smart. And let's all take care of each other. That includes the local economy, but health number one. And we'll talk to you Monday right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And I got one more thing to say.